that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big ol' showtime!
My fly is open.
Nothing wrong with getting a little dirty.
I'd like sweet on meat.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
Sweet on meat. It's the juxtaposition of it all.
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a little get bad. For the show, then go to like the DLFGS.org. And I see challenges at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1091 of the Links Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Dave.
Howdy.
All righty, right. For some reason, I don't know why, I got some information come across about Medusa. And it sparked my interest, which is speaking about the ransomware that I guess they're making a big deal about the threat of it. It's been in the wild since like late 2020. One thing said 2021, another one said 2022. And thus far, I think there've been like 300 victims. It's one of those where it encrypts all your files, and then they want you to pay them in Bitcoin to unencrypt them. And I was just curious because it was just exploding up my news feed, and I couldn't really get any, I mean, I didn't want to go to like the standard news sites. I was more interested in like more of a technology kind of news site, but it was just, I got exhausted just looking through the list on the search when I did Google. And this was not an expansive, this was only a few minutes. I mean, I read some stuff and it sounded like the usual thing. It's a spear phishing or a phishing attack, and they want you to click on something which exploits your machine, and then they get in there. And I guess it's, lay of the land kind of attack, if that's, is that the correct terminology? And, anyway, I was just curious if things had kind of maybe changed a little bit or progressed. I guess there is, it could, from what I understand, impact Linux machines if, But almost everything I saw was, seemed to be related more towards Windows being impacted. But the payloads and the software that's being used in PowerShell and all these things to do all this encryption. So I'm not, I don't, does anybody have any insight on that?
Nope, first time hearing of it.
Me either.
Okay, well anyway, so that got me thinking that, A couple weeks ago, one of the guys I work with was like, I think I got a phishing email attempt at his work address because it was telling him, like, he had downloaded some movie or something off this site, and he's like, I never went to that site on my computer or whatever, and I had a link, and then he was looking, he's like, oh, I think this is one of the ones that, that's an internal one to catch people who don't follow the proper procedures, for security, particularly with, you know, these phishing attempts. And so he looked at the header and sure enough, it was one of those that it's in locally by the, I think it's Biteback or whatever it is, the group that they contract with. And then you just send that and report it to who we're supposed to report it to. And it was interesting because, like, my whole way of avoiding all of that is to just never read my email. Like, I don't. Like, it's weird because I mean, my our whole team just communicates over Slack or Zoom, and or if they need to get a hold of me and I'm not on either one of those, they'll call me or text me or something. But I, you know, I kind of got trained out of using email because all it was just GitHub repo notifications and shit that doesn't apply to me and, Manning, I think that's it, Manning Press sending me the download of the day, you know, so I started looking through my email that day that he got it, and sure enough, I got one too. It was, looking at the headers and stuff. It's not easy on, and they don't make it easy to look at the headers in Outlook.
No,
particularly the web version. And like when I use all the other clients I have, it's really easy to look at the headers. And it was a pain in the ass, but yeah, sure enough, it was there.
Do you have to use the web client?
Well, I mean, I could download Outlook or I can hook up another email client to, I guess, the Office 365, but my experience with using, like, I think I've done Thunderbird in the past, is it's fine, except sometimes it gets a little quirky with the calendaring stuff, because it's just, like, that little bit of incompatibility or something that it just does weird things or had. And this is going back for years. So I just use the web one because I don't want to be bothered trying to figure out how to hook that up with any other service. Why do you ask, Joel?
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I know I don't use the web version. At least not that much. I will, like, for certain accounts, like, I do have an Office 365 account or Microsoft, whatever you want to call it now, for my church. And when I do, like when I do pictures, that's usually how I send them out, is a link that way. And I also use my OneDrive account there as well. So, that one I almost always use the web one, but for my work account I use Outlook or on my iPhone. I also use Outlook. I have to use Outlook. I can't use Mail because they turned off the whatever it is on the back end. I want to say ActiveSync, but I'm pretty sure that's not what it's called. But anywho, I generally don't have problems with it. Now, I did,
with what? With Outlook?
Yeah, well, or with, you know, this, malware stuff.
Well, you won't know, Joel, until you get a phishing attempt. It'll come from Dave's account.
There you go.
Dave Yates sent you a picture.
Right, no. Yeah, I've never seen that way. We have one call that we call Fake Laura, which is always an email that comes out that makes it sound like it's coming from our CEO, Laura Ipsen. And so we'll get those every once in a while. But
it's, well, are those like to catch you if you're doing things wrong?
No, they're phishing emails.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean.
From out, not in the phishing, not in that tool. We have one of those where they test you on phishing. But no, this is actually somebody out there trying to use our CEO, the name of her to catch us in phishing attempts. So.
And Joel's like, this is my Slack password and my,
right.
Social security number and credit card. When do I get my raise?
Right. Never. I'd get fired if I did that.
yeah, I know. That would be crazy. You know, it still surprises me because we have to go through those trainings like at least twice a year. And how is it that people still get busted, you know, get caught doing this? Like, how can you not know at this? Right, Dave?
I guess. Just 30 minutes ago, a buddy of mine was telling me where he works. Their head customer service guy was responding to an email from a customer. It was a Lincoln man, a customer they do business with every day, a big customer. He clicked on a link, and something happened. It took down their entire email servers at their plant. It was some kind of malware attack.
Oh, never click a link in an email.
Yeah, I know.
Ever.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and what's funny is how many times that people will, like a corporate will say, well, don't click on links in email, but then your health insurance provider or some other benefit provider will send you emails with what in it? Links. Every single time. And I'm like,
yeah, but if it's click this to see your announcement from your healthcare provider, then what you do is you go directly to your healthcare provider and log in, and it should have a pop-up or some kind of notification screen right there when you log in.
Right. Anywho. Oh, crap. The Texas Mammoth March's 2026 version is open for registration. No, I'm not gonna do that one. It's too far.
SSH in and attack their site.
Yeah, right. No.
Take it down, DDoS. That's one thing I saw mentioned in regards to Medusa with Linux is if it can get onto the system. I think that right. In some cases it does a DDoS or a botnet group to do a DDoS. But anyway, yeah, there we go. Right.
Yeah. My wife did text me about, I guess there's something going around with Google, I think. The Forbes article.
The one of the articles, I mean, the thing that I see going around is if you use Outlook or Microsoft 365 or something or Gmail, they're targeting, you could be really susceptible to the
7 days to act following Gmail lockout hack attacks, Google says.
What's that?
I'll see if I can't get the link open on my laptop so that I can actually send it to you, but it goes back to, like, she's asked me if it's real, and I'm like, yeah, it's probably real, but, you know, the next thing I told her was, that's exactly why I always set up two-factor. I always set up a multi-factor on everything.
Anything you can.
Right. My Amazon account, my Facebook account, which I wish more people would do that, because something happened. My son's Facebook account got disabled, and we're not sure how. And he's pissed about it. I'm like, well, you're about the only 26-year-old that I know of that would, well, almost 26-year-old.
You know what? I'm trying to remember. But the Wolf Pit, Larry, that guy, wasn't his account compromised?
Yeah, he got his channel hacked. Yes, his channel got hacked.
Was that through a Facebook interaction? Or was that?
I don't remember.
He didn't talk
too much in detail about it.
See, from what I understand, and there's been a couple of people that I'm aware of that YouTube and similar, you know, platform, whatever the fuck you want to call those people, channels and stuff that have, apparently there was a, like, I don't know if it was an email or something that was linked inside of YouTube, or if it was an email linked inside of you that
I found his video on it.
Yeah, I guess it was, somebody was, it looked really legitimate, and it was about sponsorship and stuff like that. And when you went to go look at it or investigate it further, it had a payload that compromised your system.
So. Yeah, Linus Tech Tips got hit by it too at one point.
They're taking down. What is it? What is it? What is it?
That video is the Wolf Pits video.
Oh, Gear Diary, right? They're coming after Gear Diary next.
Whatever.
They're going to infect your wife's shoulder, Dave, when she comes home.
There you go.
She's going to have, like, this massive, like, incredible robotic arm that can punch through reinforced concrete.
That'd be nice as much as we're going to pay for it.
Yeah. And she'll be like,
right,
what do I see you buying over there?
Right.
It'll also enhance her hearing. So she'll be able to tell what you're purchasing three rooms away by the keys you type and the sounds they make. She'll be like,
if she's texting somebody, it won't matter how good her hearing is. She cannot text and listen to anything at the same time.
Is that how you get, you just wait till she's texting?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
you
yeah.
do all your bad stuff?
And then he watches all his porn. Yeah. The midget hermaphroditic clown porn.
Possum lovers. Oh, there we go. So did you get your Proxmox stuff fixed?
I did. What was the issue
fix for that?
Oh, I think last time I was having a problem with the PCI pass through for the embedded graphics.
Right, and wasn't showing anything, right? When you were
right, or it was causing various other problems. I did eventually get that fixed, like right after the show, really. The problem was I needed to turn off the no VNC, set that to no output after I did the boot sequence stuff, adjusted the grub to make it not load certain modules at boot time. And so once I did that in the correct order and got that all set up, it worked just fine.
Was that last thing that you said, was that another grub option that you had to put in there, or was that a
it was several module? It was several grub options along with some blacklisting some modules.
Okay.
And then you have to use like the grub to tell it not to use certain modes. You know what? I think I still have notes.
I'm somewhat familiar with that.
I remember having to do that.
Right. Mod Pro, Blacklist, Radeon, Nouveau, NVIDIA, NVIDIA FB, NVIDIA GPU, the Intel ones, the HDMI codecs, and i915. So, and then there's also the Mod Pro Blacklist. That is under what, /mod pro blacklist or something like that.
Yeah.
That you have to put some things in there too. And then after that, you have to, you know, do your update grub and there's another update that you have to do when you change the mod pro blacklist. That I can't remember off the top of my head, but after that, restart and with the, no VNC turned off. So the local is set to no. I can actually bring that up too right now so I can tell you exactly what it says. Cause I did it again afterwards. Yeah. You have to pass through the PCI and then you have to set the display to none. And tell the PCI, you don't even have to set the PCI to primary, it'll just do it. So that worked. And then I turned around and did it again, on another system, that I'm planning on using as a set-top box in the living room. I, redid all the setup because it's the exact same processor, just, the first one was a HP and this one is a Lenovo. And I also ended up, passing through the audio and the entire PCI for all of the USB to that one VM that I put in it that ended up being Linux Mint. So it's running Proxmox on the back end, which allows me to control it from the central Proxmox that I have set up out in the garage. And like I said, all the as soon as you turn it on, it looks like it boots directly into Linux Mint, so it can be used as a set-top box. But I also have WireGuard installed on it. Since that's going to be set up in my living room, it's going to be much closer to my router. It's not going to have the issue that I have out in my garage with being limited to, 100 megabits per second. It's going to be able to get the full 300. So, and I'll probably also move my Pi hole from my garage computer to that one just because it seems smarter to have it close, have it on the one that's closer to the router. So it's worked out really well.
Interesting.
And I may move some, I'm not really going to be able to add more hard drives to that the way I did to the Pro Desk, because that this is going to be in the living room. So I don't know if I told you about that. I think I did, where I put in the M.2 adapter so I could put on 5 more hard drives onto that mini PC.
I think you mentioned something about it.
Yeah, that's all set up. It's ready to go. I had put the, there's now 32 gigs of RAM in the Pro Desk, but in Lenovo, I had tried to upgrade it from 16 to 24, but it turned out that the 16 gigabyte stick that I had was bad. So it is stuck at 16 for now, which should be plenty. Gonna do great. I'll be able to hook up peripherals without having to go in and explicitly pass them through. And I'll, most of the time, you know, my set-top box in the living room doesn't get used, so I'll be able to do basically whatever I want with this. But the hooking up the USB hard drives will also allow me to, you know, set up another like Nextcloud node with all my data on it or whatever else I want to do, just to have the data there and available, even though, you know, USB drives are slower.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nextcloud, have you upgraded to 31.01 yet?
I have not.
I did, and it threw, I guess, to anybody that's been running Nextcloud earlier than version 24, which I have. I've been running it a long time. It forced me to change the row format of 31 databases to dynamic. So that took me a little figuring out, but I was able to do that. But that was a small pain. So if you've been a Nextcloud user for longer, earlier than version 24, you may very well have to do that.
Yeah, I might end up redoing my entire Nextcloud.
I've been thinking about Dockerizing mine, but it's working fine like it is. But
yeah, just so I can run it in an LXC.
Yeah. Did you hear the news about Plex, what they announced today?
Yes, I did. I saw that, and that is
people
bothersome.
People are not happy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I have the lifetime plan.
I do too.
But it still kind of bothers me that, you know, the company is doing that, making you pay to stream your own stuff. Because the point of Plex.
My understanding is if you're a lifetime member, if you're a Plex Class member, you can still remote view your stuff.
Right.
But if you do like I do, there's 4 households that I share my Plex library with. It's going to cost them $1.99 a month from now on.
Right. If they don't have a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got 2 options, and you know, one is much safer than the other is I could forward a port and share it just from my domain, or I could just wholesale switch to Jellyfin. Or tell all of those, you know, all those people, you know, hey, it's $1.99 a month and it's $20 a year.
Well, convincing like
my mother-in-law, yeah.
I'm sure I could convince my sister to pay the $1.99 to be able to access the stuff. But it's the jumping through the hoops to get it to happen.
Yeah.
Would be the problem. And then, yeah. Why isn't this working, Joe?
Exactly.
Come fix my crap.
I'm very glad that I'm running Jellyfin alongside Plex and have been for like 3 months now. And it's ready to go if and when I decide to, you know, I'll probably keep Plex around since I've paid for the lifetime membership. But anybody wanting a remote view, they can just use Jellyfin.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to run them side by side. I don't know if I want to maintain both.
My Plex is not Dockerized, but Jellyfin is, so maintaining Jellyfin's been pretty easy. Plex, you know, I think I'm running a dev package, and there's a script I run to update it whenever there's a new version. It's been flawless, but...
I mean, neither of them's really hard to upkeep with, why add extra work for myself?
Yeah, there's that. But I did it because... I just sort of feel like one day I'm going to abandon Plex.
I'm getting close.
Yeah.
You know, I understand they need to make money, but when you do things like say, you know, we're going to make it so you have to pay to stream your own data.
Yeah. Yeah.
It bothers me.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure, you know, you could port forward and people can still remote view if you have your own domain.
Yeah.
I think that solution will always
access it directly instead of going through Plex.tv.
Yeah.
Oh, I get that. That's not so bad then.
Nah. But that's one thing Jellyfin makes super easy. I mean, with Plex, you sort of have to like, it's pretty easy as well, but you can't cut off the Plex.tv functionality so easily, I think. With Jellyfin, you know, they don't have that, but port forwarding is a flip through HTTPS is another hoop you got to jump through, but you know, not that hard. Right.
I have MB. That's what I've been using, and I like it a lot. I don't.
Isn't Jellyfin a fork of MB?
Yeah.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have, I think they have a similar deal to what they have with Plex, but I don't pay for that because it's like, if I really want to watch my own content on the road, I can just copy down what I want to watch onto a device and bring it with me.
If I really wanted to, I could just, you know, if they really did lock it down to only your internal network, I'll just turn on my WireGuard.
Yeah. Right.
But it's about the company too.
Yeah.
So
I watch Plex everywhere I go. I take some kind of device, a Roku device, something, plug it in, whatever TV, wherever I'm going to go, and I watch Plex wherever I'm at. And nice. I can do that in the future as well because I'm a Plex Pass member. But if friends, you know, they can't do that anymore. I think April 29th they can. But.
Excuse me, right. Yeah, I have enough of the streaming services. Although I would say YouTube TV was pissing the hell off out of me today. It kept sending me a notification for every, and I went and looked in my settings, and I didn't see that I had that show like marked to record or in my library or anything. But it kept apparently the new Night Court is already in syndication. And every time a channel would play it, I was getting a notification today for some stupid reason, and I don't know why. I ended up turning off the notifications. It's like I don't need to know.
I watched the first few episodes of that. It was okay. It's just
but
it wasn't exactly riveting or anything.
No, and what's weird is like Dan Fielding is like not really the lech he was and stuff like that, you know,
I heard John Larquette talking about the role,
right.
and he was saying, you know, I'm a lot older than I was back then. So would the character be, and he's not going to be the lech that he was back then. And I'm not going to play the character if you try and write him that way. So that's why. And it's understandable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's definitely different, and you have to like Melissa Rauch too, which
She's pretty.
That's about it. It's like I have some friends at church. I talked about Tim Allen's new show, Shifting Gears, which I like very much. But Kat Denning is in it, and if you don't like Kat Denning, you won't like the show.
I'd bring them both home to meet the wife.
Yeah. But yeah, it's. I'm looking more forward to when Strange New World starts back up, which right now it's not looking like till next year, I think.
As long as they're not canceling or anything.
No, it seems to be the new world of streaming. It's like, and I don't get this, you know, not doing it every year business, and they did that with Cobra Kai and all that. And it's
it started during those writer strikes.
Yeah.
And it never really stopped people from watching, so they kind of just continued with it. And some of it, I guess, it started before that, with BBC doing started those split seasons. So you were only getting half a season.
It's freaking irritating is what it is.
Yeah. In the first half of the year and then the second half of the year. And so it spread everything out so much that they just figured, let's do it a little bit more.
Right.
But this last writer's strike seemed different than the one that affected, you know, back in the day when you had Lost and Heroes was on TV. You know, that one, it's like they just, I think they brought in scabs or something, and the writing just deteriorated. They didn't slow the show down, but the writing got worse. Like, Heroes just started sucking for the third season, and people complained about the way Lost was wrapped up. But I don't know if that had anything to do with the writer striking up. This last writer strike, it just seemed like, well, they just delayed production instead of bringing in scabs. But makes me wonder, right, you know, the next one, are they just going to have, okay, we'll just have AI write the next season.
Oh, dear God, I hope not.
That's what the last strike was about.
Yeah, I know.
For actors and writers both, because,
that's why they delayed production, because the actors struck this time.
When you're only paying the extras for their first day on set and then, you know, using AI to put them in every shot.
Yeah.
And I'm getting real tired of IT companies and all that, including my own. You know, AI, 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 AI and it doesn't make me want to use it.
You don't want to use ServiceNow with AI?
I have it, and it's okay.
Everything wants to integrate ChatGPT. And if not ChatGPT, then a clone of ChatGPT.
And no matter what your beliefs are, and I don't want to get political here, but I have found both, well, actually in all of them, where it literally will give you the wrong answer. And I don't mean, you know, like, not necessarily politically thing, but it's just the wrong answer. It's just like, and like Google, they're on the way to replace the Home Assistant with Gemini, which right now you can use either still for a little bit longer, but Home Assistant is going to go away. And the thing I've noticed, at least since AI started coming out, is things that used to work just great don't anymore. And I'm not even talking about the AI stuff. I'm talking about things like, used to be I was driving along and having a conversation in the car, and my wife will ask me a question. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Let me I hit the microphone on my dash and say, hey, G, blah, blah, blah. And it would give me the answer. Now it's like, looks at me like I'm a dumb fuck. And I'm like, I do not get it. It's just so, I mean, you know, anyway, it's just frustrating, but
one of the things that I've not, and it's always hit or miss. It's that when I go to look something up, it presents you with I guess it uses AI, or whatever their AI is, to present you with, on Google, a synopsis of what you're looking for, the answer, and it tries to format it in a nice bulleted presentation with the links to where it got that information. And more often than not, you know, like, I don't trust it because I've been burned in the past before, but I don't really find it more helpful than what it used to be, just the first
just a fucking link Google to search.
Stack Exchange, right? Like, I don't find it, I'd rather it just give me the links and I'll look at Stack Exchange.
Yep, yep.
Right, instead of them trying to rephrase what was on Stack
Exchange. Right there with you on that, right there with you on that. I mean, it's just do what you used to do. It's like, I don't need AI to make it easier for me. In fact, it doesn't make it easier for me. It makes me pissed off. Yeah, that sound worked. Whatever that was.
His phone ringing worked.
It's like, you know, like the new, I'm kind of shopping for a new laptop, because, you know, debating, right now I'm pretty sure I want to get a MacBook, all right, but I'm not completely closing it off, mostly because MacBooks can be pricey, you know. It's, I think the one I want's like $1,199. So I started saying, well, let's look at some of the Snapdragon ones, and one of the first questions I had was, can Snapdragon-based laptops run Linux?
I gotta step away from it. I'll be right back.
Go ahead. And the answer is yes, they can. They can. Most of the Snapdragon laptops still use UEFI, and since Linux understands UEFI, it works.
Huh. I do this show every week, and I'm going to spend the next half hour not doing anything except listening to somebody talk about technology. So I'm here for you, buddy.
And mute yourself, Dan. There you go.
Yeah, I think you did.
But so I'm looking at some of the different Qualcomm Snapdragon laptops, and apparently they can run Linux too. So, it's not a requirement for me and for my use case, because I still want to run the Creative Cloud. It's like, I wish Adobe would just make a version for Linux, because it's not like it's hard anymore. You know, I don't know. I'm frustrated by that too. But probably what I'll end up doing is, unless I have to see, if I got a Qualcomm-based Windows machine, I have to see if I can run this, my Steam games and my good old games on it. Like, I have the whole Wing Commander collection. Yeah, the original one from, late 80s, early 90s. And I love that game. But if I can't play it on an ARM-based laptop, then I won't replace. My end goal will probably be is I'll take that laptop and make it my Linux machine, and then get rid of this laptop, because it needs a new battery, and I haven't been arsed to go order a new battery and tear it apart and replace the battery again. Because I've already done it at least once.
What laptop are you getting rid of?
Yoga Book 7, I think it is. It's got like lower end NVIDIA graphics and 16 gigs of RAM and 512 gig on the drive. It's quite old. Quite old.
What did you say the processor was?
It's a Core i5, I think.
Core i5, what, fourth gen?
Core i7. I don't know. I'd have to look at systems.
You should mail it to me. I'll fix it for you.
With a touchscreen.
You should mail it to me. I'll fix it for you.
see. Let's see what system monitor says. It is quad core, I think.
LS CPU.
Yeah. It's slow right now. Damn.
I mean, I'll just end up giving it to one of my kids, but still.
Man. That's the other thing I'm looking for, too, is I want to get something smaller than what I used to have. And I definitely don't want Intel anymore because I'm tired of my primary personal laptop is a gaming machine. It's freaking hot, man. It's just... You know, in the winter, I don't need heat up here because it heats the room up all by itself.
Yeah. Oh, well, my MSI, you know, it's a gaming machine.
Yep.
But it's called a laptop, but I'm not going to put that thing on my lap.
That's the other thing, yeah. You don't want to put that on your lap at all. Any of those gaming laptops are freaking hot as hell.
I don't know. I really don't care about the temperature on that one, but it is friggin'. It's a 17-inch screen, so I'm not gonna put it on my lap.
Plus,
it's massive.
Plus, those ARM-based laptops are gonna get a hell of a lot better battery life than any Intel machine.
Yeah, and ARM right now is kind of hot, so.
Not temperature-wise.
No. Not temperature-wise, but they're doing a lot of really cool things with ARM-based processors.
They totally are.
So it's a good space to get into right now. Probably a better space in, you know, 2-3 years, but still.
I mean, I can totally vouch for I have an M1 Pro for my work machine and my MacBook, and it's freaking awesome. Yeah, it boots up in seconds. If you have to reboot it, I generally don't. One problem I was getting was every once in a while, for some reason, it would just totally lose its network connection. I couldn't get it back until I rebooted it. But then I figured it was something out. When it happened and I had time, I started dinking around with things like, just doing an NS lookup, stuff like that, you know, cause every other device in the room had a connection, but it didn't for some reason. Come to find out, I think what I did was I went ahead and gave it one of the, either the Cloudflare or the Google DNS directly on the laptop itself. Once I did that, fixed the issue. So instead of just getting it from my DHCP, which is configured to use, it's either 111 or, you know, the 41s or the 48s, for DNS instead of using, Spectrum's DNS, which generally doesn't matter. Both Cloudflare and Google are faster DNS than what Spectrum can provide. So, but yeah, that seemed to cure it, and I haven't had that problem since. Now the other problems I have too with that MacBook, and it's more Bluetoothy things. Like I have a Shox OpenCom 2 headset. It's basically very similar to the OpenRuns, but instead of having the mic integrated into one of the headphones, it's got a boom mic on it. So the audio quality is better for phone calls. I'll power it on usually in the morning. First thing in the morning, I always have a call. And I'll power it on, and I have to power it on, then power it off, and then power it back on again before it'll work in Zoom. I don't know why. And both times, it makes the connection. Go figure. probably because Apple wants me to use AirPods instead of anything else. You know, they always work fine with AirPods. But I don't want to use my AirPods. And that's the irritating thing that I have with the Mac platform is that once you pair, you like say you buy a pair of AirPods and the first device you pair it on, it will want to switch between your devices. So see, say if I'm watching something on my iPad, but I'm on call and the phone goes off and then it'll automatically switches the AirPods over to the phone. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I just want to answer the phone. Well, that's Google for you. Well, not Google, Apple. Anyhow, Dave, you been running again?
No. I was walking, but I sort of stopped that. My asthma's been killing me, and
bummer.
I need to get back at it, but I mean, I am walking every day, but it's at a 2-year-old pace because I'm walking with my son. We're walking through the woods every day, and we'll walk for 2 or 3 hours some days, but it's at his pace, so I'm not burning a lot of calories.
I think at the end of the month, I'm going to probably pick up my next pair of trail shoes. Although I probably won't use them on a trail, at least till I get them broke in. And until the trails firm up, because right now they're kind of a sloppy mess.
I mean, I was on the trail a couple of weeks ago, but I think starting next week, it's going to be unavoidable. My wife is going to want to walk. You know, her arm's going to be in a sling for 12 weeks.
Right.
But she's going to want to walk. And we won't walk.
Yeah, get some exercise.
We won't walk on the trail because the biggest danger for her is falling.
Right.
So we'll walk downtown or on a track or on a grass, you know, a grass field or someplace. But she's probably going to want me to go with her.
See, and I was thinking about getting, I still do ultras for my trail shoes, but I was thinking about getting ones with a higher stack, but now I don't think I'm gonna because I've been messing around with, the ultras that, my old boss sent me. They have varying stacks. In fact, the one I have is the Forward Experience, and those are actually a low drop, not a zero drop, 4 millimeter drop on those. Those are the ones I've been running with lately, and, I really like those ones actually. But, I think I still prefer the zero. I'm just used to it, you know.
I don't know that I've only run, you know, I've run, I guess in the last 6 years, I've only run in the last 2 or 3 sporadically, and that's been in the ultras.
Right.
And that's zero drop, and I've not enjoyed running in those shoes as much as I did, like the
like a Brooks or something like Speedgoat.
I don't like Brooks, but the Hokas. I mean, something with a 4 millimeter drop with a lot of padding. I enjoy running in those. It's just a little less comfortable. I mean, I run on the balls of my feet anyway,
right?
And I don't know something about it, you would think with a zero drop that'd be easier, but I don't know what it is. I think a low drop suits me better.
I'm debating whether I want to go 8 or just go whole hog into the Lone Peak 9s that just came out. Although they also brought out a 9 Plus. And the main difference between the 9 and a 9 Plus is the 9 Plus had Vibram soles instead of the Max Trax.
Yeah.
But and the Ultras I have $15 more.
Yeah. That's what shocked me is I've not, you know, I bought these Ultras on Woot. And I got them for, you know, $80 or something, but I went with my youngest daughter to buy a pair of, she wanted track shoes to work in.
Right.
And it was for her birthday. But you know, if she's going to go to a running store, I said, I don't know if you need to go to a running store to have your gait analyzed if you're just going to work in them. I said, we can go to an academy and maybe save a little bit of money. I was shocked. I mean, I shouldn't be. You know, what used to
are $140.
All shoes. I mean, what used to be $130 is $170 now.
Yep.
No, it's everything though. I mean, it's process in general. It's been this way for a while.
I can generally, you see, and the nice thing is that, cause I know how ultras fit my feet. I don't have to go and go to one of those stores or like go to REI and buy them there, which I'll pay through the nose there. I know an ultra 10 and a half or an 11 will fit me just fine.
Yeah.
So, and it doesn't matter which ones, you know? Yeah. So, I'll just order on, like I can get the, see, that's the other thing too is, since the 9s are out, the 8s are now down in price. I can get them right around $100 on Amazon.
Yeah.
Now, Sierra is usually where I like to go. Sierra Trading Post. They usually have last pair of Via Olympus Vias I bought, one of my road shoes there back in December with my gift cards, was $60. And that was a great price for that shoe. But I went to their website and they haven't had hardly any ultras lately. So, cause they're very much almost like an Odd Lots, but for sporting equipment. You know, cause they're owned by TJ Maxx. So, they're all the same company. In fact, a lot of places you go will have a TJ Maxx right next to, the Sierra Trading Post.
Huh.
So, but if you can find, if you like the more expensive shoes, like I think we both do, check them out if you've got one nearby. I don't think you do though.
The Sierra Trading Post?
Yeah.
I think there might be one.
Okay. But yeah, check them out. You might be surprised what you find in the price they want for them. That's how I got my first pair of Ingenie socks. Those are the toe socks, trail versions of them. It basically each toe gets its own little pocket in your sock, and it's supposed to help with blisters. Which honestly, I didn't get that many blisters on the last Mammoth March, and I really didn't get any on any hike since. Once my feet completely healed up. I've been messing around with different socks and stuff, and I also picked up some, Foot Glide, which is basically like a lubricant that goes on your feet, and put that on the feet directly before you put your socks on, and that generally works okay. But I do like how those socks fit me. And, I think it's probably when I'm gonna hike in instead of a regular, like a Darn Tough. Like I have Darn Toughs as well. But the one thing I found about the Darn Toughs is they're a little thicker. Plus they're also wool. So I think I may go away from wool for my hiking socks maybe. Unless it's in the winter, you know, that's a different story there. I'll wear Darn Toughs in the winter, but cause they're a little thicker. Their hiking socks are definitely thicker than, most of the toe socks. I got some knockoff ones on Amazon, which those actually fit me real good. And my feet are more comfortable. So the whole goal though with trying to avoid blisters is to make sure you don't have like excess friction in there and definitely on the longer hikes, take some extra socks with you. So if you dip your toe in something or just to change them out halfway through, so that you can keep your feet dry, and that'll keep those, feet blister free. Cause once you get a blister, especially if it's in a bad location, like on the balls of your feet, which I've gotten them there before, those really fucking hurt when you're trying to finish it out.
Yeah. I've not had a blister in years, and I didn't get blisters till I started running, you know, on 10 miles at a clip,
I get them on my toes too, so hopefully these socks will help with that. So we'll see, but like so far, I of the ultras that I have, because I have like 4 different pairs of them now, I got one pair of Olympus Vias that I haven't used yet. Those are the ones that were in the free ones I got. The last ones I bought in December, which I haven't worn them for a week or two. I might go back to them for a little bit and see how my feet feel after. My feet generally feel fine in them, but these ones are kind of getting to be wore down already. You know, because I'm I run 2.5 miles a day, and then walk after that. Usually, like walk in the evening if it's warm enough, or I'll go back to the gym and do some more on the treadmill, or do like a hill program or something at hiking speed. So I'm going through shoes. So one of the things I think I'm going to do is I'm going to get a bigger box and then keep all the shoes that I wear out in this year and just take a picture at the end of the year. But I will say of the ones that I do have, the Torrens, I don't like them for some reason. If I'm just walking around, like I'll probably wear them Saturday to the crew game. If I'm just walking around or working in them, they're fine. But I don't know, maybe it's because I just haven't worn them as much and they're tighter than some of my other ones. But they just don't feel comfortable as the other ones. Definitely not as the Forward Experience ones, which I think those are now Forward Flow, I think, which has a 4mm drop in them. And those ones I really like. The ones I have are orange. I love the color, too. But that's one of my frustrating things is when I'm looking for this kind of gear, like the shoes or packs and stuff like that. I want to get colors that are different, you know. I don't want to buy a backpack that's black, even though a lot of companies have a black backpack, you know, or a navy one, you know. Give me a red one or an orange one or a green one, something different, you know. So like I was looking at, I might pick up one of those Osprey fanny packs because I have that cheap one. And I did go for a hike with it. It was okay. I'm not in love. This one has I guess I don't have to put that part on, but it has like a backpack strap that hooks in the middle of the fanny pack and then hooks up on the front of the belt. All right. It works. It's actually kind of one nice thing is if I have to go take a whiz, I just unbuckle it and I don't have to take it off. It'll just hang from my shoulders while I do my business, you know. But the one thing I didn't like is I couldn't adjust it as easily on my waist. So if I wanted to tighten the belt, it was a pain in the ass to do that. Now, the Osprey has the same kind of adjustment system that my Stratos has. So it's real easy to, like, loosen it up. Or, you know, or tighten it up. So, and it doesn't have the over the shoulder thing. So I might get one of those. They're not, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, in the backpacking world, they're fairly cheap, you know, cause you can get, you know, like, especially once I start to look at the ones you do overnight trips in, or, you know, like say for a weekend, have all your gear with you in it. Those can be $400 or $500, depending on how big you want. $90 for a fanny pack isn't that bad then, in the grand scheme of things, for a quality one. You know, the cheap ones are fine. You know, but you know, when I'm doing miles and miles and miles and multiple sets of that, you know, I got three of the longer hikes, and plus, who knows how many longer training hikes I'm going to take between then. Between now and September, you know, we'll see, but I may just stick with my Osprey pack, which I like a lot. But I might get, Osprey makes them, several other companies make them. They make like a pocket that you can attach to one of your shoulder straps, and they're designed basically to carry your phone. They don't have a clear, like, window on it. It's just a pocket, so you can stick your phone in there and then unzip it, get the phone out to look at the map, put the phone back, stuff like that. You know, I might get one of those. Those are about $20, so that way I don't have to go fumbling in the hip belt pocket or in my shorts pocket while I'm on trail. Just reach up and get it out. And been using every time I'm outside walking or hiking, I've been using my Open Run 2 headphones and I love those things.
I love mine.
Oh man, they're so good. I can hear what's going on around me. That's why I like them.
Yeah.
I mean, in the gym, I want the opposite. I want to seal myself off.
Yeah.
But out when I'm out in the woods or something, or out even just out in the on the street,
mm-hmm.
I want to, you know, if a car is going to come and hit me, I want to hear that.
Yeah, like what the trail we walk slash run on is a bike trail, so I mean, you can't listen
that
to
too, yeah, yeah.
Unless it's the bone conductive, because you'll get run over by a bike.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Danny, are you back? I guess not. He just unmuted himself. We'll see. Other thing I'm thinking about picking up, maybe before the 10K race, is
now are they in for any particular reason or?
Oh, just okay. So they're in the seat then.
Mute yourself. I'm thinking about getting one of them vests with the water bottles. You know.
Yeah.
Especially for my longer run that I got coming up.
No, I know.
5K. No problem. I don't need to carry a water bottle.
When my dad.
Oh, for God's sakes.
My dad.
This is bad.
Yeah.
Went through his severe alcoholism.
Yeah, this is not good.
We tried to bring him down here.
Honestly, and I could text him.
Yeah.
Did I tell you this? Okay, so. Like, after my mom died, my dad just went straight right into the bottle, right? My mom died in 2013. He died in 2016. So, we wanted him to come down and live with us.
And you sent him a 3DM text.
We offered that to him when my mom had passed away. And he said, no, he didn't want to come down. He wanted to stay in the house. And he was drinking really heavily. And then he kind of stopped for a bit. And things were looking pretty good. But
yeah,
then
he needs to edit this out.
can you hear him? I
think
you
muted himself. Okay, you muted.
No,
too.
I did it.
Okay,
from within
good.
Mumble.
Good. I didn't know we could
well,
do that.
Actually, all that stuff he's shared on the show before.
Yeah.
Nothing new, but.
Yeah.
Still sounds like a personal conversation that doesn't need to be listened
to
by us.
Yeah. He stepped away for a reason. Well, I bought a truck, guys.
You did? What'd you buy?
Yeah.
A Nissan Frontier.
Nice.
Oh, the one you were talking about.
New or
yeah,
used?
Yeah, new.
Cool.
First new car I bought in 13 years.
Yeah, you were talking about that last show.
I got it a week and a half ago.
I need to, like, lay into my wife and say, let me trade my Traversa and get a Suburban so I don't have to pay $1,700 just for the car and gas. But she probably won't do that.
I'm probably going to need a new car relatively soon.
Yeah.
Well, a new-to-me car. I ain't got new car money.
Let's see. I would recommend probably 2018 or newer. The only reason I'm saying...
on what's available.
Well, yeah, that too. But the only reason I'm saying that, though, is those are the ones that have a... Android Auto in it, so which you'll love.
I'm sure I will, but honestly, I can add Android Auto to whatever car I want to.
This is true. You can buy a replacement stereo, especially if it's something old enough to have a DIN. Because that's the thing. Is anything like, I would say 2010 or newer, don't really have standard things.
Well, it depends on the vehicle you get. I mean,
right.
You look at a Mini Cooper, and replacing the stereo in that is a frigging nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then again, you know, like replacing the stereo in my Buick would still require me to, like, remove the entire freaking dash.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that that's supposed to be a safety feature. Right. You know, to prevent your stereo from being stolen in some parking lot somewhere.
But. And my 2017 that I had that I wrecked, the stereo itself, even though it was a dual DIN stereo, you could tell, all right?
Mm.
It still had vehicle functions built into the stereo that if you swapped it out may not work.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like,
well, even in the early 2000s, I was talking to, you know, mechanics about replacing car stereos because it was something that I was interested in at the time. And they were saying that with a lot of, car stereos, what you end up having to do is taking the OEM and leaving it partially hooked up and dropping it back and setting it behind everything, mounting it somewhere in there, and then putting the new stereo in front of that, and then just hooking that up to the amps and everything else. And again, it's an anti-theft feature, but it is fucking dumb.
I agree 100%. I wish it was easier. Now, here we go. I might do the 9s. I was looking on Amazon while we were talking about that, and they have them for $120. They're $20 cheaper than going direct to Ultra. I might do that, and that's not much more. Anywho. But yeah, there's that. And then I will say this, though. If you run into a car when you're shopping that doesn't have the wireless Android Auto, you can buy devices that add that to it. So you can use the wireless function. Cause that's much better in my opinion. For the most part, there's sometimes like, I know when I'm driving, like when I'm going between here and Hershey, on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, like right before I go through there's several tunnels in the Allegheny Mountains, and at least one or two, and it's not at the first one, it's not when you're in the tunnel, it's like when I'm, cause there's like a double one, there's one tunnel, and then right after that you go through a little bit of sunlight, and then back into another tunnel, between those it'll drop out. And then sometimes I can't get it back on until I'm closer to Harrisburg. So then I have a cable up front so I can throw the phone into the cable so I can still have the nav on. Not that I need the nav when I get to that point anyway. I don't really need it till the end because I know that road very well. But still, it's a pain in the ass because especially if I'm driving by myself. But other than that, though, I like the wireless. Like in and around town, the wireless works wonderfully. You know, it's only on long trips when I go past certain places, you know, where I'm trying to think what construction zones usually, and it has to come with whatever radios or other sensors or things they're using, or like a tunnel or something like that. So we'll see. My next trip is down to Baton Rouge. That's a long one. We're going via Nashville. I'm staying at a Comfort Inn there in Nashville, and the swimming pool is shaped like a guitar.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, well, sounds long.
It sounds like a long drive, yes.
That's like, I got the dollar figure, for my mission trip on how much I got to get funded for the mission trip. I think because of our team size, it's only $1,054, ish. And with the time I'm volunteering at, the crew games I have, and plus money I already put in, I have half of that. But then, one of the guys I'm going, that's going with us, he, in our mission meeting Sunday, he said, well, can I just drive down there? And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, she's like, yeah, I think so. And they'll get them a reduced rate because, you know, that's counting airfare to McAllen. And I also found out I can't use my TSA pre either because they want us all to travel together. I'm like, damn it. Like, well, it probably, well, the thing is I guess if I get my new laptop before then, I'll probably take it. If I don't, though, then what I may end up doing is just take my iPad, because I really only, honestly, won't need to be on a computer when I'm down there. My phone and my iPad will be enough.
Blasphemy.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be doing any work down there. Work down there. No way. I mean, we'll do physical work. Things like painting and running a BVS. Stuff like that. It'll be interesting. Get to flex my Spanish. I'm teaching myself Spanish in Duolingo.
Cool.
Yep. Let's see, 10.5. Yeah, 120 for the black and red ones. You started riding your bike again,
Joe? My exercise bike. I haven't gotten out on the other bike. It's been so dusty that, like, when I woke up this morning, my eyeballs hurt.
My sinuses hurt. And some of it's coming here, too.
Yeah, I couldn't work today.
Because
my allergies were so bad.
The pollen's awful here. My allergies are year-round, it seems like now, but...
Yeah.
My white truck's yellow.
Yeah. Oh, you got a white one? See, it's the same thing. Like when I get my new vehicle, I want to get something other than white or silver. My current one's silver, and I like it. It's if you don't like to wash your car, silver is the color to get.
This is the fourth truck I've owned, and they've all three of them have been white. Those are the ones that I primarily drove. I got my daughter the blue Frontier, that the 97, or I guess it's 98 Nissan Frontier that I'm keeping. I got her that when she wrecked the Civic, but I'm going to keep that one just because if I need to haul something that's this nasty or messy, you know, I can use that. And that truck still, I can't carry any grandkids in it, but it's that four cylinder engine from 1998. They've been known to go a million miles.
Yeah.
I mean, that truck's 27 years old and it runs like a top.
Can't complain. How many miles it got on it?
It's all only right. Got 140 on it.
Not bad.
Uh-uh.
Well, my Buick still runs good. I mean, it does have those oil leaks, but it's got like 110,000 miles on it.
What you got? Park Avenue?
2001.
Is that Park Avenue one?
What? My Buick Century?
Oh, Century? Okay. Interesting cars.
Yeah, it's a good car. I have zero complaints about it.
One thing I kind of wish car companies would do again is wagons. I always like driving wagons.
Most of your SUVs now look like minivans.
I know.
Yeah.
And a lot of your hatchbacks look like wagons.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not big as big as an old wagon. One of my favorite ones I ever drove was when I wrecked my car. and it was in the shop to get fixed. Mom and dad drove up and they, loaned me, their celebrity station wagon. It was an 84. And this was what, 90, 95, 96, somewhere around there. Yeah. And I was working, that's when I was working down at the William Green building downtown Columbus doing, computer installs. And I liked that thing. It was roomy, and not that I never had to haul anything in it other than groceries when I had it, but, I always liked that thing. And if I could find that wagon in good shape, I wouldn't mind having one. But 84, you won't find in that good of shape. There's not a wagon. Those are beat to hell by families.
Yeah, pretty much. People tend to go out of their way to, back together and make all pretty.
They did have the Eurosport trim later, so those ones looked a little nicer, but Mom and Dad's was blue, and I loved that thing. That was a good car. I'd say the same thing if I found a 1980 Oldsmobile Cutlass, which is what I drove tail end of college. When
everybody
married.
Used to drive those.
Yep. I love that thing. The only problem I ever had on it is when the fuel filter got dirty, that damn thing could not go faster than 35 miles an hour until I replaced it. Once I replaced it, man, I can drive the hell out of that thing. And it would start in the coldest winters, too. I remember when I was in college and staying at a rooming house, which is the second of DeVry housing that I was in. It was down on OSU campus. And that's when I worked at, it's not a Meijer anymore. Meijer closed that store down, built one down actually close to me. And then they sold that location to U-Haul. But anyway, I used to work in the bakery there when I was in college. And, I get off Grandview Avenue off of I-70, and I was coming off that off on that off-ramp. It's one of those long, sweeping off-ramps, you know? And it just thunderstormed, or just started to thunderstorm, and I hit that ramp a little too fast, and I went sliding right into the guardrail. Still drove. So for a week or two until I was done with the term, I drove with the headlight all wrecked on one side, and then I drove all the way across Pennsylvania for break. That's when my parents had moved back to the Philly area, and Dad had already, he knew what I had, and we were able to find, he was able to find all the parts we needed, the bumper and the front nose. And the fender, and me and him unbolted everything and rebolted it all back up, and it looked good as new. The only difference was when we bought it, it had the four headlight front end on the Cutlass Supreme, and the replacement one he found was only the two headlight one. And I forget which year, there were different years, but they bolted on and they fit right. And it was the same color even too. So, I mean, It still looked pretty good except for the shitty paint job. I swear I think somebody had, whoever had it probably got caught in maybe they were in the military and they were in the Philippines, when they were serving, when Mount Pinatubo erupted, because the paint was always fucked on that thing. But it didn't rust, and it drove. I drove the hell out of it, tail end of college, and all the way up until my first day back to work after I had gotten married. I was driving to work, and the muffler fell off. I pulled over, and it didn't fall completely off. It was still hanging on, so I just pulled over. Ripped the thing off all the rest of the way, and that thing's going louder than hell pulling into the campus. And I'm like, oh God. So I got home, and fortunately, the weekend after was 4th of July weekend, and I told the wife, I said, we're going to go look for a new car for me. And that's when I got my first Saturn. I got a Saturn, Station Wagon 1, which I love. That thing was great. That's the one and only car I ever leased. And I regretted leasing it. Never do that again.
When did you quit driving that?
When did I quit driving that?
Yeah. Because I think you were in a Saturn, my very first trip to Ohio Linux Fest, which would have probably been 2006 or 2005.
We didn't have a Saturn that long.
Okay.
We didn't have a, yeah, we wouldn't have had a Saturn, and we would have had a Kia Sedona.
I'm sure I'm misremembering it, man.
Yeah, because we did have, we actually, at one point, I had that, and my wife had a SL2 Saturn in blue. And we had that until we went and bought our Kia Sedona in 03. And that, Saturn we ended up giving over to my in-laws because they needed a car and we didn't really need two because at that point I started riding a bus because it was just cheaper overall. So that's when we went down to one car. So, and I didn't go back to two cars until I started working for the company I'm working for now in 2017. We went and bought, my first Traverse. So. Technically, I guess we still only have one car because the only person that drives our Chevy Trax is my son. We've been paying on it for a couple years now and I've yet to got behind the wheel of that one. He won't let me. I kind of don't want to drive it either. That's a Chevy. It's from Korea. Made in Korea. I guess we can just continue on. It's 10 o'clock now.
Yeah, if we want to.
It says he's back and unmuted.
Is he?
That's what it says. It 2201, 12
seconds. You're looking at the wrong one, though. Dan S. Washko was the one he was talking on. The other one's probably the recording. At least I hope it is.
Well, it says Dan Ashwasco is now unmuted. But he's not talking, so. Have you still got him muted? I mean, if he's unmuted.
No, his head would, if he was unmuted, his head would be blue, like mine.
Gotcha.
It's green. So, one thing I shared, I think I told you, but I think it was in pre-show, I had to go get my lab work done for my appointment at the nephrologist next week, and everything's good. No protein in my urine, so that's be my last appointment with that guy.
That's good.
I'm excited about that. Yeah, 2:39 this morning.
Cool.
You got what?
What's that?
You're gonna say something when I started to talk and you stopped saying it.
I don't think so. I don't know what it was. I'm gonna call it a night. I gotta get up super early tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, while we were talking, I replaced the fan on my Raspberry Pi.
Ooh.
The case. So yeah, it was very loud and obnoxious. And
is
now
that a 5?
No, it's a 4. It's the one that was previously running Octoprint. Now I have to figure out what I'm going to do with it.
Nice. So, if you ever do get a 5, I have a 5 and I got the official case.
Mm-hmm.
which does come with a fan built into the case. But I also bought the heatsink with the fan in it. And you can't use both at the same time. So it's either the heatsink with the fan or the fan in the case. So I went with the fan with the heatsink. Cause it actually clips on real nice. It just goes in through a couple of holes on the edge of the board and that's it. Sticks right on there. And then you plug a cable into one of the fan headers on it now. And I used to have Ubuntu on it, but now I have went back to Raspberry Pi OS. And I've been using that. The only thing I had to do was I found that we talked about it on the show that a way to get a version of Chromium that supports syncing your Google accounts over, which I think is PyShop, I think.
I'll talk to y'all next week.
Yep, talk to you later.
See you, Dave.
Bye.
I think that's the name. Yeah, American Retino. That's not it. That's an actual store to buy pies at. I forget what it was called. I'll look it up and I'll talk about it again next week. But I kind of want to get the Raspberry Pi 500, though. Have you seen that?
No. I have not actually seen that one.
It's a Pi 5 version of the Pi 400.
Yeah, I imagine.
So built into the keyboard. So now with 8 gigabytes of RAM.
Significantly faster?
Well, the thing is, I think I read a story about that it was actually slower than the regular Raspberry Pi 5.
Why?
Because they had to repackage it.
Well, I know with the 4 right. and the 400, because of the extra space and the ability to, you know, actually have a larger heat sink, isn't the 400 faster than the
Pi 4? No, yeah. I don't think it is. I know that both the Pi 400 and the Pi 500 do not have fans in them or the option to put fans in them. It's basically the Pi shoved into the same format as the standard Raspberry Pi keyboard. Now they did reposition like the GPIO pins, so if you wanted to use those you still could. But the other thing too, I think you lose with the Pi 500 is like you can't do like with the Pi 5, you can get hats that add the PC M2 slots for hard drives.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't have. I just have the SSD right now at the moment. I don't know if I want to mess with it because I really don't need the M2 drive. If I was building a NAS out of one, I would definitely go with that. That way you can can boot off of it too.
It's still, you know, going to last longer than a micro SD card.
True, but I have yet to have one fail. Well, in any of the full size ones, I have had one fail in a Pi Zero.
Hello.
Oh,
he's back.
Good to hear from you again.
Sorry. We had to mute your ass.
I'm sorry. I thought I muted it, and then something went wacky on the thing. That was my best friend from high school.
Oh.
And so, you know.
Well, it's nice that you still talk to your best friend from high school.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't talked to him for a couple of years, except, you know, a few texts now and then. So, so it was good to like hear from him.
Yep. The one guy I used to kind of be friends with in my first high school, wound up, not that I have a problem with it, he can be gay, I don't care, but he was gay, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, I didn't know that until I found it on my Facebook. he was always this guy that you know, we back in is like, we all like I have we can you come over and we dick around on my Atari 800 XL and you know, ironically I still have one now. Haven't turned it on for a while yet.
Did you ever? Oh, let me see.
Did I ever what?
Wait. I'm trying to remember the name of this.
My fucking abs are starting to hurt now. Damn.
Oh, what's going on?
I worked them yesterday.
That's cool.
On the ab crunch machine, I'm doing 247 and a half pounds.
Cool.
In six sets.
Fair enough. Yeah,
I did six sets of 15 at 247 and a half on that. And then the back extension, I also do the same weight. Lats between 130 and 140. I wanted to do the curl machine, but I don't know what the hell has been going on at Planet Fitness. Usually by this point, the New Year's resolution folks are gone. Not this year. Every single night, it's been hammered. So I wanted to get my curls in on the curl machine they have, but then I ended up just picking a barbell and doing with the barbell. And I did the assisted pull-ups. Three sets of 10, but I, the last set I did at 135 instead of 150. So I'm starting to get to the point where my arms and, lats are getting strong enough to pull me up.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
And as you continue getting lighter, are you still losing weight?
I am and I'm not, you know, like I bounced
back up. It's obviously going to slow down.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's definitely slower. I've lost about I'd have to look at the tracking. Probably about 14 pounds since the start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm down to 239 as of this morning. But I bounced back up. Like when we went, to Cincy, of course, the food I didn't have a lot of choice with, you know. And I'm guessing too, like
the
when
trips
I go to
are
get
always harsh.
Yeah, when I get to we had the free breakfast at Embassy Suites, and I just guessed what it was. Plus, we only ended up enjoying the free breakfast once, so of course, I went a little overboard, and I got an omelet plus whatever the hell was on the bar too, and guessed at what the calories were. So I kind of bounced back up. To about 140 something, but then.
But it's difficult to go wrong with an omelet.
No, oh, it was so good too. I think I had like cheese, onions, mushrooms, jalapenos. Oh, it was so good.
And the probably the highest calorie part of that was the cheese.
Probably, yeah. I did take my protein powders with me. I found some little containers over at GNC, although before I go down to Baton Rouge.
Oh, my son's got some really cool ones that are, they're shaped like the top of a bottle.
Yes.
And they screw on the bottom and they screw
that's
on the top.
Yeah,
and they're made
got.
So that the screw on the top one will fit inside a water bottle top.
Yep.
So you can just shake your powder out into it.
Yep, that's why I put my collagen in those ones, but then it's at my protein, I put it in little ones, pre-measured, of course, that I found over at Kroger System, something. I don't know. They're little tiny things, kind of like designed to put dressing in it. But I need to get either more of those or something different for when I go down to Baton Rouge because I don't want to take the damn canisters with me. I want to take up the least amount of space I can in there because Luke's got 8 bowling balls. Plus then we'll have suitcases and balls for his two teammates because we're going to have 5 people total in the Suburban. Well, I hope we get a Suburban. I'd prefer a Suburban, but if they give me an Expedition, I ain't going to complain.
Yeah.
So cool. As long as it's a full-size SUV, we should be fine. Although I'm debating picking up one of those fabric bags that can tie to the top of the roof rack so I can put like a – I'd put my stuff in that so that I took no room up in the car, cause, with exception of my laptop bag would be in the car, my tech bag. But I'd, as long as it's waterproof, I don't care, you know. It could be up there. But
all right, we gotta wrap this up.
Yes, we do. Yep. It's a quarter after now, so
yeah, it's time for you to get some protein.
See, what do we got? Oh, I already had that. I had my Formula One Clio. Strawberry limeade, Joe. It was delicious.
Cool. All right, I'm gonna play this out. Here we
what
go.
Flavor was this chocolate?
I am sure.
I'll share. Oh.
Share after the
after he
yeah,
play
after
playoffs.
Oh my god! Games.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Click the link. Click the link.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So my wife made a smoothie that was rose flavored.
Rose flavor?
Yeah.
That sounds nasty.
I know, it was actually pretty good.
Is it with rose water?
No, we get this skinny syrup that's Rosa flavored.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And she mixed it with some vanilla protein milk.
Okay, that could work.
And it came out pretty well.
Now, I have a... If you click the link, that's the link for basically any of the flavors, but I have the strawberry limeade one, and I like that one. I might order the watermelon one next, because I want to try that one too. But the nice thing I like about this one is it's only 90 calories for 22 grams of protein, which is out-freaking-standing.
Yeah, that's really good.
And you mix it with 16 ounces of water. I mean, I... It only has 90 calories, too, so that's a good thing.
There's Joe.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. Let me see how much the regular Formula One has. It's a post-workout recovery protein is what it's supposed to be. So the regular one is 110 calories and 23 grams of protein. One I just drank.
Comes in watermelon flavor, lemonade flavor, strawberry, limeade flavor, young man flavor.
you're Dave's nuts. Flavor.
That's Dave's flavor.
So the clear one is 22 grams of protein and only 90 calories.
So the dirtier it is, the more protein you get from it, or like if it's not clear?
This is the gram difference.
Oh.
And there's no sugar in it either. So I have the strawberry limeade. I might try the watermelon maybe. I'll probably be ordering more at the end of the month. The only thing I don't like is the clear version comes in like a Ziploc bag instead of a canister. I guess I could get a canister and put it in there if I wanted to. But this stuff's pretty good, and I It's better than me. The level one, which is the other one I have from them, technically more of a meal replacement one and a slowly assimilated protein. And it is about 150 calories, real close to the same amount of protein, I think. Let's see my protein count for the day. I don't know. I have to look at it. I have to add the rest of it yet. I bought strawberries at Sam's Club last week and damn near eat all of them by myself. Slowly, of course, slowly. I didn't eat them all in one sitting. I love strawberries. Now, if I could just like vegetables as much as I like fruit. I do some veggies I eat. Like one thing I tried this week, I guess these meals aren't very in a sheet pan meal where you just throw everything on a sheet pan and stuff it in the oven. So I did like had some smoked sausage, potatoes, onions, and peppers, and coated that with some olive oil and put some garlic and spices in there and then cooked that in the oven. That came out pretty decent, although I might like try doing other things, maybe actually finding a real recipe instead of just making one up on my own. Although, that's how you find combos you like, is by doing it on your own. Maybe I might get the regular Formula One at the end of the month. Especially if they have the Lucky Charm flavored one.
Tastes like a real leprechaun?
No. Today is my, I don't usually do strength training on Wednesdays. I do that Monday and Tuesday and Thursday.
I'm basically taking this week off because my shoulders are all screwy and my back's all messed up. So, and my hips hurt.
Yeah, them hip adductors, man.
I'm taking a week off.
And one thing I wish that for some reason it's not catching it on the personal records page of my Garmin, but the last two mornings I ran my a pretty fast mile that was faster than the one listed on as my record, which is 13 minutes and 28 seconds. Because I've been running between 5 and 5.2 mile an hour on the treadmill. It's not quite where I want it to be temperature-wise to go run outside, if you know what I mean. It's been nice. It's like lower 70. I could use another 5 degrees and then I'd definitely try running outside. And my step goal, currently, my current streak is 180 days in a row. That's counting today. It's 10,000 or more because I increased it to 12,000. I think at the beginning of the year, I need to start getting out on trail then, start getting some trail miles in soon.
Alright. We ready to go?
Sure.
What episode is this, Dave?
I'm going to say 1091.
You're going to say correctly.
Ah.
Bravo, sir. I knew it.
Wow.
Joe was like,
Dave's senile. He ain't going to get it. And I was like, you just wait, Joe. He's going to get it next week.
That's what it was. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel said that if you got it this week, he's going to send everybody a bag of that protein powder.
No, that's a little expensive, dude.
Four man.
$45.
Well, he's going to send you a bag of his own protein powder.
That's all right.
No.
All right, let's get to shows 191. Here we go.